Yeah.
I know that you're with us. I know that you will be with us. He's already touched mom in a mighty way. They got her heart back in the rhythm. She's breathing good now. She's not being confused. And they said it was just totally lack of oxygen to her brain. And, we took her to the hospital. She got really sick last week. We took her to the hospital, and she weighed 175. And I've been thinking, my mom has always been very small.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't know why she gained so much weight. Well, we knew she was in congestive heart failure, but I didn't really know how bad it was until when she came home. 4 days later, she was 149 pounds. So she had really, really had a water gain on her, and that's why she wasn't breathing well. But I am so thankful that I serve one that has brought her through this.
Amen.
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 And I know he will bring her through. You know, there's one thing, and I'm so thankful that my mom and my dad raised us in church to know who Jesus was. And
yes,
at the age of 12, I remember going to the altar and giving my heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm failing along the way. I've had many, I mean, I'm not perfect. Not like anyone else, I'm not perfect, and I fail him. And sometimes I feel so unworthy of his grace and his honor, because he is my all in all.
Yeah.
Bless you.
And
Amen. Sometimes I feel like I let him down in a lot of ways, and most of it's when my family's around. But through this, I've been able to see our family a lot. Through COVID, there's so many of us. A lot of them wouldn't come around. We haven't had our family get-togethers for a couple of years. I mean, we just had our certain few that would come to things, but through mom being sick, I've been able to be around my family and them coming in. And I made it a point, and my brothers and sisters all know, but I made it a point with my nieces, my nephews, my baby brothers, that I'm going to make Christ known.
Yeah.
And because I know my mom wants that. She's already told him.
Yeah.
I'm in a win-win situation. I don't want to leave my kids.
That's right.
She said, but if I do, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
She said, Amen. I'm going to be in heaven with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So through it all, I know that they're hearing and they're seeing, but I have a very heavy burden on my heart for my lost loved ones.
Amen.
Amen. I'm concerned about their souls.
Amen.
I want them to see Christ. I want them to turn to Him.
Yeah.
So when you don't have anything else to pray about, pray for my brothers and
our Amen.
Pray for my nieces and nephews that are lost.
Amen.
And I want to tell this church that I love you guys once again. I feel so blessed. I'm like, I'm just running over. I want to be here. I can't even wait. I get excited to be here. And I just love each and every one of you. And you're always on my prayers. I was so tickled this morning when Lindsay told me. She said, Aunt Teresa, she calls me aunt. I'm really not her aunt. And it's a whole Ted said this morning that it's kind of confusing. But she is also my kid's cousin. But Penny's married to my brother. So it's just Ted's side of the family. What? I'll have to tell you. My Ted's dad and Libby Messick, I don't know if you all know Doris Messick, but Libby Messick and Ted's dad were brother and sisters. And Ted and Penny are first cousins. So when she met my brother, I said, oh, because I was already dating Ted. Ted and I started dating when we were 14. And I said, oh, this is going to be so confusing for people. But that's what it is. But I was so happy this morning that Lindsay felt comfortable here.
Amen.
Amen.
She and Josh was in the process of adopting Scarlett. Lindsay couldn't have children. And I prayed for many, many years Amen. That God sent her a child. And one day, out of the blue, a family member called Josh and Lindsay and said, there's a baby at the hospital. It was Josh's cousin's baby. And could you come to the hospital? Yeah. We have nowhere to send this baby. And so they are in the process right now of adopting Scarlett.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Pray for her, though. Pray for Josh. Her husband doesn't know the Lord.
Amen.
But pray for them. Pray that she'll come here, and I know I feel so welcome here, and I just love this church with all my heart, and I love each and every one of you.
Amen. Amen. Someone else tonight, song or testimony. I'm excited to have Brother Ted with us. A couple weeks ago, I asked him for help installing the diaper changing things in the bathrooms. And really, you know, Jimmy knows this, that a lot of times stuff like that's a setup. You know, that's because I didn't just say, here's where it is, you know, can you come do it? No, of course, I met him here so we could talk and everything else. And we spent a good amount of time talking. And Ted told me about how he had kind of preached in the past and kind of let it go away. And God, you know, one of the things is God never let it go away. And, you know, as we were talking about that, you know, it became pretty clear that God hadn't changed the calling. So, you know, and I thought about that. That takes a lot of courage, you know, for, you know, you think about God dealing with you a long time ago with something and you kind of pushing it off, maybe doing a little bit, push it off. And then way later on down the road, it'd be so easy to say, you know what, I'm just going to forget about it, you know. But then him saying, you know what, just like what does Jimmy always say? Wherever you put your cross down, you can go right back and pick it right up. So we need to pray for Ted. I'm encouraged tonight, and I'm excited to hear him. But keep praying for him. And we're going to call Brother Ted to come preach for us.
Blessing, Lord.
So you guys are going to find out I got a pretty good sense of humor. I joke a lot. So, but one of my biggest problems with preaching is anxiety of it. That just the anxiety of speaking in front of people and talking. So my daughter and my wife has proven that how the Lord works, that I'm sitting there sweating bullets and they got testimonies that long, which I love it. I love it. I thank God that He gave me them. So, you know, I don't know how this is going to go tonight. I've been studying for 2-3 weeks. I've been studying for a long, long time. And, you know, we're just going to let go and let God do what God does, because that's the only way I know how to do this. You know, if you ever wrestle with the Lord is what I wanted to say. You ever wrestle with the Lord like Jacob? Because I can tell you, if you haven't, it's rough. Because I've wrestled with the Lord for a long, long time. I've been in wrestling matches. The Lord called me. Now here we're going to go. I'm going to talk to you. The Lord called me to preach when I was 30 years old. I'm 56. When I was 30 years old, the Lord said, Ted, I want you to preach my word. And I said, nah, I ain't going to do it. That's when I started wrestling. So along the way I picked it up and I preached here and I preached there. Jimmy came in tonight and said, Ted, do you remember the message that you preached at church camp probably 15 years ago? And you know what? I told him exactly what I preached about. Because I do remember it. I do remember it. God never stopped dealing with my heart. I've wrestled with Him over this. I've been on mountains. I've been in valleys. I've been in places that's been dark. But you know, He's never left me or forsaken me. He's always been in my life. And He's always constantly said, Ted, I'm never going to be 100% satisfied with you. You're never going to be in the will of mine until you do what I ask you to do. It never goes away.
That's right.
You know, tonight we're not going to preach about Jacob wrestling with an angel. You know, one of my favorite things to study in the Word is about David. I love David because I relate a lot with David. I understand kind of how David lived. He was stubborn, but yet he was quick to repent. And that's kind of the way I am. I'm a stubborn guy, and if I get something in my head and I say, Lord, I ain't going to do that, it's hard to get me to move. But you know how many times I've went back to the cross. Just like Brother Michael said, I've went back and I've picked it up and I've carried it just a little bit farther. And then I said, Lord, I can't do this because, see, I let the devil win. I let the devil win. That's no place for it to be today. So tonight, we're picking it back up and we're holding on to it. I want to thank Brother Michael because he's done more for me in just a few weeks than I've had done for me in a lifetime. We've sat down and he's talked to me a little bit and he's explained some things. And you know, it's made things clear. Maybe I'm just a little older now. Maybe I'm a little more settled. Maybe it's time now. I don't know. I don't know, but I feel good this morning to finally know where God wants me to be, because I feel at home here. We've been going to our old church for my whole life. But the Lord would tell me, He'd say, Ted, you need to be going somewhere. Ted, I got something else for you. But I never wanted to leave. I didn't want to uproot my family. And as I began to pray, my wife came to me one day and said, Ted, we got to go somewhere else. That's how God works.
Amen.
And we ended up here because we wanted to bring the kids. I thank Him that He brought me here. I thank Him tonight for all He's done for me. I thank Him for holding on to me and not turning His back on me. Again, I said He'll never leave me or forsake me. He said He would never leave me. And He said, just keep trying. Just do the best you can. Tonight we want to look at Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help.
Yeah.
Amen.
My help cometh from the Lord,
yes,
which made the heaven and the earth.
Yes, it does.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber.
Amen. Yeah.
Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord thy shade upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smote thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil.
Yes.
He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy coming out and thy coming in from this forth and even forevermore.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we thank You, Father, for what You've given us, Lord. We thank You tonight for another opportunity, Lord, to be able to stand there, Father, for You tonight. Lord, we know we failed You in many ways, Lord. But, Father, we know, Lord, that You're just to forgive, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Father, let the Holy Spirit come tonight, Father, because You know we can't do this. We've had this conversation, Lord. You know I can't do this, Lord. But You've promised me You'll help me. I love You and I thank You, Jesus. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
So, you know, we look at this psalm, and there's a couple ways to look at it. If you go back in some of the history of the Jewish ways, they would go to temple about three times a year. The Jews would walk through Israel, and they would be heading to Jerusalem. They went to the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of the... There was three feasts that they went to. And so, if you think about it, now, they used it, they called it either a psalm of degree or a psalm of ascent. That's what the Bible finally calls it. But what that is where they would go, they would all come into the temple in Jerusalem. So they would walk, and you know, Jerusalem or around Jerusalem is kind of hilly, it's kind of rocky, and they would make that track. You know, they didn't have what we have, they had to make that walk in. Barefoot or sandals or whatever they had to wear at that point, climbing over the rocks and up the mountains. So a lot of times they had about 12 or so psalms that they would use, and they would sing those songs as they headed toward the temple. And then they would say, I lift up my eyes into the hills. Yeah. You know, if you think about that, as they were walking, they probably seen the temple up on the hills of Zion. And they began to walk that way. And you know, the walk wasn't always easy. And they would go that way. But you know, they would always look. And they would say, you know, the Lord that created the heavens and the earth, the Lord that made everything, He's the reason we're going to the temple. He said, I will lift my eyes up unto the hills, and He'll help me get there tonight.
Amen.
You know, that's exciting tonight. Teresa, I need a drink of water. I'm a nervous wreck. So that's how they would get there. But you know, I kind of studied back a little bit and looked in the Bible, and this psalm was actually written about the time that David was trying to be overthrown by Absalom, his own son. So kind of there was another reason for this psalm back in the day, and then they used it later. So, and that's a little bit of history I've been reading about. But back in the day, that David was overthrown by his son. So his son, Absalom, So David was the king. So this was later in his life. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about David. We know he was just a little guy when he started out. We know he was a shepherd. And he was a tough little fella. You know, the Bible tells us that he killed a lion and he killed a sheep while he was a shepherd. And we remember that he was chosen as a little young kid to become the king. And the Lord anointed him as king. It wasn't long after that that he stood on the mountain, Brother Jimmy, and looked down in the valley. I believe he looked down at a big old giant. And he's just a little fella. And he looked down the hill and he saw that giant down there. He wasn't like old Brother Ted. He wasn't afraid. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll pick me up a few smooth stones and I'll go down and I'll slew that giant.
Come on.
And Saul and the rest of them said, there ain't no way. There ain't no way you're going to be able to go down there and kill that giant. But let me tell you what, David was convinced. He didn't have one single doubt that he'd be able to go down there and kill that giant. And the Bible said he did. You know, that's where we need to be tonight. That's where we need to be with the Lord tonight. To have that know that I know situation. That no matter what happens, I'm going to do what the Lord has had me to do. If there's a giant in my life, thank you, Brother Tom. If there's a giant in my life, I'm going to go down and I'm going to slew him.
Amen. Yeah.
Because that's what God can do for you.
Yeah.
It's not what we can do, but it's what God can do.
Amen.
You know, that's exciting tonight. You know, when we look at that in our Christian walk, we're able to have some issues that come around. We know we all have issues. Have we been through some things?
Right.
Absolutely, we've all been through some things.
Amen.
But let me tell you what, tonight, if you got the Lord in your life, you're able to look up. You're able to see Him tonight.
Amen.
And call upon Him and say, Lord, I lift my eyes unto the hills.
Amen. Yes.
From whence cometh my help. Because He promises tonight that He'll help us. You know, I think about that, and as David went on through life, he was a warrior. He did many things. He fought many wars for God. He slayed many for God. And he kept right on going. And we know that eventually he got in a little bit of trouble when he looked over at Bathsheba there bathing. We know he fell into sin that day. He even had her husband Uriah killed. He put him out on the front line so he'd get murdered. Let me tell you what, David did some bad, bad things. But when it was brought back to his attention by Nathan,
amen,
he knew.
Right, yes.
And he was quick to repent.
Amen.
Listen, church, don't think because you've done something wrong that God has left you, because He won't. Don't carry those burdens around. Come right back to the cross and say, Lord, I know that I messed up, but I need you tonight.
Right.
Because the Bible says there's none perfect besides Jesus Christ.
Amen.
None of us are perfect. We are going to fall and come short of the glory tonight.
Amen.
Every one of us will fall and come short of the glory tonight. But He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. That's right.
You know, we think about it, He goes a little further. You know, there were some consequences that had to be paid for that sin.
Yes.
But you know, we think about it, Absalom, David's son. So David was the king, he's getting a little bit older. And Absalom, his son, didn't kind of like the way things were going. So he would sneak down and he would get in front of the king's place there. And as the Jews would come in, as the Israelites would come in, they'd want to talk to David. Absalom would kind of intercept them there. And he would talk to them a little bit. You know what he was doing? He was building him an army. He was building him some followers. It sounds like the politics of today. You know that, he would build and he built and he built and he talked over a few years. And then he said he was going to take over.
Yeah.
You know, he tried. He tried.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what tonight. God knew what was going on.
Yeah.
God stayed by David. He said He would. He stayed by David the whole time. And David actually fled Israel. He took his army and he left. Or he fled Jerusalem. He left. He left the temple. And he went on. But I'll tell you what tonight. He didn't lose his place. Because God intervened and God made a way. But listen, one part of this that I really liked it. When the battle was going on and they were fighting against his son Absalom, he told them, he said, you can go down. He said, but you can capture him and bring him back. He said, but don't hurt him.
Yeah.
Don't hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, I think about that tonight. That struck a chord with me. It struck a chord with me. Don't hurt him, no matter what he's done to me. No matter what he's done or where he's been or the things he's done for me, to me, I don't want you to hurt him. Don't that sound like Jesus tonight?
Yeah.
He don't want us to be hurt because we're not perfect.
Yeah.
We're going to sin against him. But I can just hear him say, you know what? I don't want him to be hurt. You know, God loves us this morning. You know, I love how David just continued. I know that there's times that he was fleeing and he was running and he would go into the cave and he would pray. And I could just hear him saying, I'll look into the hills. All I need to do is pray about it. All I need to do is call on the Lord and he'll take care of it tonight. You know, I think about that. How many times in our life have we had to just call upon the Lord? We've been in those caves in our lives. We've been in those places in our lives that we just can't get out of. And a lot of times we look at the ground. We look out in front of us. Michael, sometimes we walk around the house and we look up and we look around. But eventually our eyes catches the sky. Eventually we know and it clicks. Well, I just need to call on the Lord. Why don't we do that first? Why don't we do that first? Because we think we can fix it ourselves. We think we can fix everything ourselves. It would be so much better if we would just call upon the Lord from the get-go. Because that's what he wants us to do. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you.
Amen.
He wants us to call upon him tonight. You know, I thought just a little bit longer about that. And these notes didn't do me a bit of good. But I thought just a little bit longer about that. And I started thinking in the New Testament a few things that happened.
Yeah.
You know, if we look in Acts chapter 7, you don't have to flip there, but it's talking about Stephen. And Stephen was preaching to the Sanhedrin church. And what it do to him, we've been talking about witnessing. We've been talking about going boldly before our friends and telling them about God. Let's talk about Stephen tonight.
Yeah.
He said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's because right after he got done preaching, they took him out of the city and they began to stone him to death. You know, that's somebody today that's doing what God asked him to do. And he said, Lord, don't hold this against them. Lord, forgive them tonight. And he died as they stoned him to death, looking up to the hills and saying, Lord, I love you. I know my help comes from you tonight. You know, I think about one of my favorite stories in Acts 16, Paul and Silas. They were doing the same thing. They were preaching. They were doing the same things that we're doing. They were preaching the word. We're so blessed to be in this United States. I don't know how long it's going to last, but right now we have the freedom to do this. Thank God for that, because there might come a time that we can. Paul and Silas was preaching the word, and they took him and they put him in jail. It said, and they brought him, this is in Acts 16, 20, and they brought him to the magistrate saying, these men, being Jews, do extremely trouble the city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes, and they commanded them beat. And when they had laid stripes upon them, they cast him into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet and their hands, or tied their feet and their hands with stocks. You know, we think about that tonight. So these guys were preaching, Paul and Silas. They began to beat them tonight. They began to do things to them. And I can see as they probably just drug them into the prison. They cast them into the inner prison. And they chained them up in there. But I'll tell you what tonight. In the middle of the prison. In the inner prison. In the midst of the darkness. Tied up tonight. They looked upon the hills. And they saw where their help cometh. And the Bible tells us. Then a great earthquake came, and the place rattled, and it shook, and all the ties were broke free.
Amen.
Amen tonight. Amen. He can break our ties free tonight.
Amen.
He can break the chains that bind you tonight.
Amen.
You might be walked this road as long as I have. I've been saved since I've been 14.
Yeah.
I was at a revival,
And I was playing bass guitar and my dad was preaching it and we had to do the altar call. And I was doing the altar call at 14 playing and tears dropping on the floor. And I wanted so much to go to that altar, but I couldn't because I didn't want to mess it all up. I didn't want to mess. My dad was giving the altar call and I didn't want to go around him and go to the altar. So I held back. And I didn't get saved right there. But I went home. And I'm telling you tonight, once the Lord touches your heart, you can't get away from it. I began to cry in my bed. And I was upset because I wanted to know the Lord. And my dad come in and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Dad, I need to be saved." At 14 years old, he took me down to the kitchen and we kneeled down at the table and I began to pray and I found Jesus that night. Oh, I love my dad. I miss him and I thank him for that. But let me tell you what tonight, I don't care if you're locked in the inner prison tonight. Right. If you got God in your heart, He'll break you out of it.
Amen. That's right.
I love Him tonight.
Amen.
I thank Him tonight. Where do you stand tonight? Where you're at with Him tonight? What is He to you tonight? Do you lift your eyes into the hills? Do you find Him when you need Him? Do you have Him all the time? Are you reading your Bible tonight? Or is He talking to you? Is He doing those things for you that you need? You know, trust me, you're not looking at anyone who hasn't struggled. You're looking at a guy that struggled more than anybody. I've fought with God. I've argued with God. I've been bold enough to say no to God. I've been the most stubborn person you've ever met. But look where I'm at.
Yeah.
You can't stop. Because I can't find peace tonight.
Yeah.
I can't find peace in my life unless I do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And I thank Him tonight that He's guided me, but I ain't followed. But tonight I'm following Him and I feel good about Him tonight. I love Him so much. I don't want this to change. You know, I just want to be able to be bold enough. I'm old enough now to look at those around me in the workplace and say, "You know what? I love the Lord and I don't care if you don't like it." I'm bold enough now. I'm an old guy. There was a younger time it was hard for me to do that. It was hard for me to look at people and say, "You know what? I'm a Christian. If you don't like it, it's just too bad." I struggle with it. But today I don't anymore. You know what? Because I'm at the other end of the tape measure. If you stretch out a tape measure and look at 56, and the Bible says you might live to be 70, dude, there's a whole lot more of that tape measure on that end than there is on this end. It ain't going to be long that I'm going to be done. And I get it. Well, I tell you what, I finally come to the point where I said, "Lord, I can't whoop you."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't whoop you.
Right.
I've tried, but I can't. And Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell for being disobedient. What's He asking you to do tonight?
Amen.
I got to put it back on you because I fought the battle. I've been through the battle. What is He asking you to do tonight? Are you lifting your eyes into the hills? Are you seeking His word? Where you at tonight? Because just because that tape measure says 70 don't mean you'll get there.
Amen.
Ain't no promise of it. At 50, I practice dying and it ain't fun. I had a heart attack. I was 100% blocked in my right coronary artery. I was rushed from my living room to Riverside Hospital, and it felt like an episode of ER. They pulled me out of that ambulance, and they surrounded that gurney, and they started running down the hallway, and all I could do was lay there. I'm in a full heart attack, and I'm watching the lights go by. And I'm laying there watching the lights go by. And I know somewhere inside there that this ain't good. This ain't good. This can't be good. And I feel something in my side right here. And it wasn't my heart hurting. I felt something. And I looked over and there was this little girl up on the gurney. She had her knees up on the gurney right in my side. And I knew at that moment why she was there. If my heart stopped, she was going to start pumping.
Yeah.
That's real tonight.
Yeah.
That quick.
Amen.
I went to bed. There was nothing wrong with me. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning dying. Die. If you want the rest of the story, talk to them because I don't remember a whole lot. But I'll tell you what. I know I remember going down 23. It was still dark. Going down 23 and I was watching the lights out of the back of the ambulance. And we got down to about the Shell station. I forget the name of that road. And I began to start hurting. And my shoulder started cramping. And my elbow felt like it was in a vice. And I was thinking about my new little grandbabies. And I was I think it was just one at that point. The three, they were babies, yeah. So I was thinking about them. And I was thinking about my kids. I said, Lord, you know, I just want my kids to be okay. And I was thinking about my wife. And I said, Lord, I just want my wife to be okay. But I know I remember saying, Lord, forgive me. Because I haven't been what you would want me to. I took my last little bit. He gave me enough time to talk to him. They wheeled me out of that ambulance and they took me up there and they run me in there and they threw a stent in my heart and I stayed 24 hours and I got out and they said, it looks like you have the heart of a teenager. They still say it almost six years later, your heart's perfect. We can't even see a scar from where you had a heart attack.
Amen.
You got a stent, that'll always be there. Not a scar. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow might be the end of my tape measure. And that's okay with me. Because I'm where God wants me to be tonight. As we stand across the building. Michael, get us a song, brother. You know, we ask you tonight, where are you at? Where's your life? I can't answer that. Brother Michael can't answer that. Brother Jimmy can't answer that. None of us can answer that because you're the only one tonight that knows where you're at with him.
Amen.
You know, you can be really close to him or you could be far away and I wouldn't know. But tonight, part of this process is to ask you where you're at tonight. Where's your life tonight if you reached into your tape measure? Where are you at? Where do you stand? With all heads bowed across the building tonight. All heads bowed. I just want you to think about it tonight. Where are you at? Where will you go tonight? If you leave here. Can you look into the hills tonight and call upon a God that knows your name. That knows every hair that's on your head tonight. He knows you. He loves you. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your life's been about. Starting before we walked into this building, it doesn't matter. Where are you right now? Do you feel him tonight? Is he speaking to you tonight? If he is, just come and make it right. Pick up your cross right now and start over. Because he loves you tonight. And he died on that cross and he shed that blood for you. That you wouldn't have to die and go to a sinner's hell. That you would be okay with him tonight. Where are you at tonight? Is there troubles in your life tonight? Are you asking him to take care of them? Are you asking him to bless you tonight? Because he's there. Again, he said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. I don't care what that care is. Let me tell you a little secret. One time I stood over my washing machine as it was plugged up. And I didn't have any time to work on it. And I had to pray. And I said, Lord, touch this because I don't have time. Now you can believe what you want to, but no longer. And when I got done praying, that drain opened up and that washing machine started working. That's the God I serve this evening. That's the God that I look after this evening. That's the God that I want in my life this evening. I haven't been perfect. I have not been perfect. But God has stood by me. And he's loved me. Tonight, where are you at? The altar's open. Tonight's a great night to get it right. Tonight's a great night to just get back on track tonight. Is there one? Is there one? Where are you at tonight? How do you feel about him tonight? How does he feel about you tonight? Would there be one? As Michael finishes up, the altar's open. Have you surrendered all tonight? If you gave it to him tonight, he's waiting for you, arms open. Would there be another? Would there be another tonight? Anywhere across the building. As the Lord tarries, will there be another? Tonight's a great night to meet Jesus. Bless her, Lord. Amen.
Tonight's a great night to meet Jesus. Maybe you already know Him and you just need to get things right. Don't hold on. Don't hold off. Anywhere across the building as they pray tonight. Lord, have Your way tonight. Father, we thank You this evening, Lord. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your mercy, Lord. We thank You for Your grace tonight. Anywhere else, as the altar, as the water stirring tonight, would there be another? Anywhere across the building, would there be one more? Don't hold on. Let's just do this. Let's just do this and move on. Anywhere across the building, I can feel it tonight. I feel His Spirit tonight. I know He's calling. Anywhere across the building, He loved you enough to die for you. I don't care if you even believe it. I don't care tonight if you struggle with it. Doubt is a huge thing in our life. But you know what? God can get you past all that. Anywhere across the building, right as we close. Lord, have Your way. Lord, have Your way to me. There's still time and the altar's open. We have room. Lord, have Your way tonight. He loves you tonight. He loves you more than you'll ever know tonight. He wants you to be His tonight. It costs you nothing. It costs you just to believe that Christ died on the cross and shed His blood, that you would go to heaven tonight. That's it. There's a place there for you. He said, I knew you before you was ever in your mother's womb. I created you. I knew you. And I'm calling you tonight. Would there be one more? Would there be one more tonight? I knew you. I created you. I love you. Would there be one more? He's waiting tonight.
Praise God. Praise God. What a God.
Amen.
God is still in the saving business.
Amen. Lord, thank You tonight, Father. God, we thank You.
Jesus saved you tonight.
Bless Him, Lord. Have Your way.
I'll stand with You.
Yes.
And will you tell Him?
Yeah. Amen. Bless Him, man. Right.
Tell the church, you two, what Jesus done for you.
Bless
Him.
Jesus saved
you. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Bless your heart, baby. Amen. That's what it's about this morning, this evening, church.
Brother Michael.
God is